بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني بقولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah that He allow us to explore the beautiful meanings of the Quran and allow us to implement them in our lives, inshallah, and make this a means of our success on the Day of Judgment, that we're sitting here and we are reflecting on what Allah ta'ala told us to reflect upon, which is His beautiful book. And so, mashallah, we're going to continue from where we left off of the last part, which was about Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, which is an extraordinary story of the past. We learned many lessons from it. It's a beautiful section within Surah Hud. Thereafter, you know, what the point that Allah was trying to highlight to everyone, though, was that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and all of modern history and everything that we know of could not have understood about Nuh ﷺ the way the Prophet ﷺ explains it, and the intricate stories and conversations. Who could ever even get a snippet of that? You know, who could ever get the story or the conversation of Nuh ﷺ and his son, right? There's no way for anyone to know these things. This was revealed on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is a sign and it's a proof of his prophethood. So we as Muslims have to come to terms with our own Islam that this is the truth. And that when we are praying and we're fasting and we're doing all of our ibadat, they're going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one day we will go to Allah and we will meet up with the good deeds that we sent forward. So may Allah give us that understanding and allow us to recognize it. The next part of this beautiful surah is actually the one that the surah is named after. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. Okay. And you're going, I'm telling you, by the end of this, you're going to fall in love with Hud alayhi salam. You probably didn't know anything about him, and now you're going to know so much about him. Okay. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. And to Ad, we sent their brother Hud. Okay. So we already understand that Hud alayhi salam is from the same community of Ad. So we first have to understand what Ad is. I'm going to give you a little bit of it today, and probably a little bit more tomorrow, because we're going to transition to Thamud right after. So you have to know about Ad and Thamud, okay? And I want to kind of like contextualize, make you understand who they were. I'll give you some pictures too about the civilization that they had tomorrow, inshallah, so that way you can see it. Because I think like, we think they're like, you know, barbaric people or things like that. It's beyond, you know, it's not even close to what they were. These were highly civilized, educated, really intellectual, you know, really well-built and designed communities. Of the communities of Ad and Thamud. So first and foremost, the word Ad is actually used for the word high and famous in Hebrew. In Arabic, you also have the equivalent, Iram. Iram is used for a lofty hill, something which is really high, okay? So these are very high people within Hebrew, the earliest Semitic language, and then and in Arabic as well. It seems, if we're talking about who the people of Ad were, because you're wondering, like, who are Ad? Were the people of 10,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago, 30,000, how old were they? It seems as though they are the first chain of human beings, the first civilization after Nuh alayhi salam. Okay? These are the first Semites. One of the things that you'll find the Jews, they don't talk about these prophets. You're not going to hear any mention about Hud alayhi salam or Salih alayhi salam. Although their communities are extremely vital and important. They're the communities that come right after Nuh alayhi salam. You hear from them Noah. They always talk about Noah and Nuh alayhi salam, but they won't talk about Hud alayhi salam, which is very important because the people right after Nuh alayhi salam are the people of Hud, okay? And the people right after Hud are the people of Salih. We're going to talk about civilization and the whole world and humanity. You think you'll talk about Hud and Salih because they were the big prophets of the later communities, okay? It seems as though the first people to come after Nuh alayhi salam are the people of Ad, okay? And so this is roughly, if you're talking about a time, this is roughly 3000 to 1500 BC, okay? Musa alayhi salam is 1500 BC. The Ibrahim alayhi salam, they say, is within the time of 2000 or so, right? So if you're talking about 1500 BC is Musa alayhi salam, which we can very much identify and verify because of the Quran itself speaks about there was a believer from the family of Fir'aun. You know that story about there was a believer from the family of Fir'aun, and he goes in, he gives da'wah, he invites Fir'aun and his family towards Islam, and he tells them that, "I fear that something will happen to you, مِثْلَ دَأْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ," right? This is like the people of Ad, Nuh, and Thamud, right? So he tells them, if this is the people of Egypt, a pharaoh. Pharaoh is basically 1500s in BC. These are people right before then, okay? So Ad was a very big civilization. If you're talking about Egypt being a huge civilization with these pyramids and stuff,
Ad was like that, but even on higher scale, even on a greater scale. How do we know? So let's look at the kingdom of Ad. It was from Yemen and Hadramaut, basically the bottom of Arabia. It was their capital, all the way up to Iraq and Mesopotamia. Okay? So I'm giving you a map, because for me, geography sometimes just blows my mind, just to give you an idea about what they had. Ad had this a whole area from Yemen all the way up to the top, which we get to, you know, we get the Persian Gulf on the side, go all the way up to Iraq. In a couple of narrations, what we get, the historical reports that they say that they conquered Babylon at certain times, and they even had parts of Egypt as well. So they go around Iraq, Iran area, Mesopotamia, that entire, you know, where humanity comes from is what they tell you in your history books, right? That area, even to all the way to the left, Jordan is where Iram is. Iram has been discovered in that Wadi Rum, in the area of Jordan, okay? So this was a big civilization. People knew about Ad. The Arabs knew about Ad. Everyone knew about Ad. And you and I probably heard about them in our history books, but we just don't have the right name for them. So there were a lot of civilizations underneath Ad. Egypt as well, like we just spoke about. So these large pre-modern civilizations, I'm talking about all of them. You can talk about Greece, Phoenicia. You can talk about all these big places, Assyria. All these places have a connection to Ad, okay? And you're going to read about them in history, but they won't call them Ad. But just know that they all have a connection to these people. Because these are the people that which Nuh alayhi salam, after they get down from the ark, these are the same people from Nuh alayhi salam's ark, okay? So all these pre-modern civilizations have the connection to Ad. So knowing all that, now you can appreciate the fact that this was a massive civilization, a huge area of land, such a great kingdom. Their prophet, Allah Ta'ala, chose one man to give da'wah to them, and his name was Hud alayhi salam, okay? In the Old Testament, his name comes as Heber or Heber, okay? He is described as the father of all Hebrews. So in terms of where the Jews originate from, the Semites, what they consider themselves, the people of Shem, of people of Sam, the son of Noah, the prophet that was sent to all the Hebrews was Hud alayhi salam. I'm trying to give you an idea about how great he was and how little we know about him and how little we focus on him. And may Allah give us understanding and tawfiq. The Arabs knew very well. Right, just give you an idea. So obviously Makkah Medina is right there next to the people of, you know, of Ad. They were right next to the areas. Right. One of the things is that the reason why they didn't want to, you know, if you're wondering like why didn't they take the left side? If they have all of Arabia, why didn't they take the left side? Because obviously the left side doesn't really have a lot, you know. Makkah Medina are in very like they're not in very good positions in terms of establishing societies. You want to be near water. So what did Ad do? They took all the water areas, right? All the waterways. If you have all the waterways are yours, if they belong to you, what that would mean then is that any civilization that wants to trade between Iran or Egypt or Sudan, you know, or Ethiopia or whatever, right? Abyssinia, right? Wherever they want to trade through, they're going to have to go through Ad. So they literally had the crux of the civilization and all the trading routes. So these are big people and Allah chose Hud alayhi salam to go to them, okay? So now you're probably wondering then, okay, what did Hud alayhi salam say? Man, what was the da'wah of Hud? If he had to go there. And so if you're thinking about Hud alayhi salam, he wasn't stuck in one spot. He's moving throughout the land of Ad, giving da'wah. What is his da'wah? What is his word? What is his saying? What is his speech? Ya qawmi abudullaha ma'anakum min ilahin ghayru. Oh, my beloved people, worship Allah. You don't have any God besides him. Same exact da'wah of Nuh. Same exact da'wah of Musa, of Ibrahim, of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single prophet preached the same thing. Oh, my people, just worship Allah. Okay, you and I as Muslims of the 21st century are doing the same thing Muslims of Ad and of Hud and Nuh alayhi salam. Same exact stuff. Worship Allah. You don't have any other God besides him. No one else to help you. No one else to benefit you. No one else to care for you. There's no one else to go to except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In antum illa muftarun. He says, you are nothing but fabricators. You're making up something. What are they making up? And so here's what the people of Ad, what gods did they worship? The goddess's name was Allat, okay? If you know anything about the Arabs of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had three major goddesses, okay? Lat, Uzza, okay? Womanat, right? Lat, Uzza, and Manat. It's mentioned in Surah An-Najm, right? Afaraitum Lat wal Uzza, Womanat al-Thalithat al-Ukhra, right? And Manat. So Lat is actually one of the gods of Ad, the goddesses of Ad, okay? And so you'll find this in the city of Iram, okay? It reads, there was a certain inscription that they found in the Wadi Iram I was telling you about. may Abdullah, the son of Atmo, be remembered for all time before Allat, the goddess of Iram. Okay? They used to worship this goddess. And so, and you know, there's a little bit more about Iram. If we had time to go through Surah Fajr, I would have given you the tafsir of that, but this is not the time for that, because we want to focus on Surah Hud. Okay? Hud alayhissalam tells him something very important. He says, you're saying that I'm making things up, but you're the ones who are making things up. You're the ones who are making up lies. What are the lies that they're making up? The lie is this, that the followers of Nuh alayhissalam on the ark, if I were to ask you, what was the religion of the people of Nuh alayhissalam who were on the ark? You would tell me very definitively that they were worshipping one God. They were worshipping one Allah. And because they were worshipping one Allah, that is the standard, that is the rule. If I were to ask you, what were the people of Adam alayhissalam doing? You would say they were worshipping one God, one Allah. There's no doubt about it. No difference of opinion between us, the Christians, or the Jews. If you were to ask the Christians, what God, who was the God of Adam alayhissalam, you'll say it was the Father. We'll ask, where was the Son of God? You know, like, it's a big question for them. It seems as though there's two different religions. There's the religion after Jesus and the religion prior to Jesus. You know, they have a big, they have this is their problem that they have to solve on their own. Okay. So the point is this, though, the ones that made up a new religion were the people of Ad. So the way that the Quran is describing it to the Quraysh who are listening to this, to the people of Makkah, is that you are following a fake religion. And the truth is very bitter, because Hud alayhi salam, they take pride in Hud alayhi salam, they take pride in the people of Ad, because they're Arabs like them. And so they go and say, when they hear this narrative, when they hear this, they're hearing, oh man, that means Ad was following the fake religion. And Hud alayhi salam called them out on that, saying that you guys are worshipping something utterly fake. And the truth is always going to be bitter to hear it. In antum illa muftarun. Okay? So the thing is that they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, and they say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam that you made up the Quran. And the Quran is actually responding to them and saying that you're telling me that the Quran is made up. You got to check your whole religion first. We think your whole religion is made up. Okay? In antum illa muftarun. Hud alayhi salam smashes them right in the beginning. You guys are following something fake. So the people of Ad ask Hud alayhi salam, what do you want from us? Do you want money? Do you want power? Do you want control? Do you want to control the kingdom of Ad? Is that what you want? And Hud alayhi salam says very beautifully, Ya qawmi la as'alukum alayhi ajara. Same exact thing that you heard from Nuh alayhi salam, the same thing you heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. All my people, my beloved people, my precious people, I ask you no reward from it. I don't ask you for any money from it. I don't ask you for any status. I don't want to become the king of anything. My reward in ajri illa alladhi fatarani. My reward is only on the one who created me. Afala taqilun? Can't you understand? He didn't use these words just for just for playing around. He said the one that created me. Because you guys are making stones. This is the foolishness of worshiping idols. That you made the stones, you made them into idols. You built them, and then you worship them, and then you expect reward from them. Like, what does that even mean? It's like, yeah, you know, I built the stone, I built the golden Buddha. Now I'm going to ask the Buddha to give me something. You're the one who created it. You're the one who made it. How could it be that it's going to give you something afterwards? It's obviously the most foolish thing ever. Then you expect reward from them. So Hud alayhi salam says, how about this? Maybe, just maybe, you can expect reward from the one who created you. The one that I worship, the one that created you, the one that made me, the one that made everything. Don't you think it's better to ask him for reward, to ask him for ajr, to get things from him? Afala taqilun? Don't you have any brains? Can't you just figure out this small little, it's so obvious. And I feel like whenever Muslims talk about it, it seems so blatantly obvious to us. But I remember when I went to one of these, I think it was they were Jains. I went to one of these Hindu area, and I tried to explain this concept of us worshiping the ultimate, you know, God, the God that is unlimited, that has all power, he's almighty and everything like that. And, you know, the fact that this universe, there's no such thing as, I tried to explain the idea that there's no reincarnation. And they were just like, what are you talking about? This, like, you know, this is some crazy stuff. I'm like, no, obviously, how could there ever be reincarnation? You know, what's the point of this life then? Are we all just in this cyclical thing? There's no purpose in it. Where are we all going? Where is the end of it? You know, I said this universe had a beginning. Everyone sees it. Everyone acknowledges it. You know, and I try to explain as much as I could about how the only being that's eternal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're all just looking at me like I'm weird. You know, like, I try to explain it to them that in our minds, like worshiping idols that we made, it's not something that we do. It just seems illogical. Afala ta'qilun? Can we use our aql? Can we use our minds? You know, where do we come from? So they ask the next question to Hud alayhi salam. What do you want us to do, Hud? If this is the thing that you want us to worship, now what do you want us to do? Ya qawmi istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayh. And my people, what should you do? Seek forgiveness from your Lord, then turn to him in repentance. This is a solid reminder to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for everyone that look, the religion of Islam has not changed since the time of Adam alayhi salam. And since the time the first people that came on the world that were disbelievers, which is the Nuh alayhi salam's people, right? At that time, there was no change in the message. The message has been the same. The same thing you hear on the mimbar and the khutbah and every single Friday about seeking forgiveness from Allah is the same thing that Hud and Nuh alayhi salam said to their people. Because the consistency, it's all consistent. Allah did not change his sunnah. He didn't change his way since the beginning. He's made sure that everyone will have the same access to getting to Jannah, mashallah. What is the access? You seek forgiveness from your Lord and you return to him. You turn to him in repentance. Just make tawbah for your sins. We all make mistakes. We all fault. We all have issues. Just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this, seek forgiveness. What does it mean to seek forgiveness in this case? Forgiveness can be done in two ways. One is that you make tawbah, which is already the second part here. But the main thing here is what? Is that you're actually doing a good deed. When you say astaghfirullah, that's a good deed. When you're saying astaghfirullah, it's a good deed. When you're sitting there and you're making dhikr, it's a good deed. And if you're praying, it's a good deed. And so what happens is when you seek forgiveness through your good deeds and you make tawbah from your bad, the beautiful thing is this, the tawbah will erase the good deed, the bad deed already, and the good deed will help erase the bad one completely. Okay? So people always have this question. They always say this. They tell us that we made a sin, we made a mistake, and I'm worried that the sin will fall on me. And so, for example, especially because of halal meat, this issue that comes up all the time. And people say that, you know, I'm scared that, you know, I ate something wrong. Will my ibadah not be accepted? I said, no. Look, the rule in the Quran is this. Make tawbah and do a good deed to erase the bad one. So if you're worried about the bad deed, make tawbah, the bad deed will be erased. And if you want to make sure there's no effects of the bad deed on your life, then start doing good deeds, okay? So in other words, if we ever make a sin, the thing that we have to do is first and foremost, make tawbah to Allah, then give some sadaqah, pray two rakats, and I'll be completely removed, inshallah. Don't worry about any effects. Don't worry about these things. These are all superstitions. This is not what the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet and what they highlight to us, is that when you do a good deed, it will erase the bad one. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyat. It's coming in Surah Hud. I'm not telling you this because of just whatever. In Surah Hud, they will tell you about good deeds erasing bad ones. Okay? And he will, and then Hud alayhi salam said it, and he gave them some more incentive. He said, by the way, guys, not only will Allah ta'ala remove the sin, and he won't let any bad come onto you in this life or the hereafter, it's even more than that. Yursil as-sama' alaykum midarara. He will release the heavens pouring upon you. I love this translation. It's a real beautiful translation. Release the heavens pouring upon you. Wa yazidukum quwwatan ila quwwatikum. We sometimes say this, from strength to strength, right? It's the Quranic expression. And you add strength to your strength. وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْ مُجِرِمِينَ. And don't turn away like sinners. So he says to them a beautiful statement. The word he uses is midrar. يُرْسِدِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. The midrar in Arabic is the word used for udder, for the cow, right? When you're milking a cow, you go to the udder, right? And that's where the milk comes from. He basically says something really, really beautiful by using this word, saying that the sky will be like the way you come to milk your cow. You expect something every single morning. You go to the cow and you just put your hands on the udder and mashallah, there's always milk there. Similarly, when you raise your hands and ask Allah Ta'ala, what's going to happen is what? Whenever you need sustenance, it will come down to you. The same way you go and reach over for the udder, the same way you raise your hands towards the sky, and the same way you ask, you know, you go to it and you get milk, the same way you go to the sky and you'll get udder, you'll get rizq, you'll get sustenance. Whatever you need, it will come. They were experiencing a drought. Hud alayhi salam said, make tawbah to Allah. Allah will make it rain from the sky. What else did Hud alayhi salam tell them? That this from the sky is where we get our children. They were having an issue with their progeny. They weren't receiving children like they normally would receive. This is the way Allah punishes a community. That they won't receive children. They'll start to limit themselves, or Allah will limit them completely. It's such a tragedy in America that you find this, that it's like they themselves are like, we can't have more kids, you know? La ilaha illallah, Allah is going to wipe them off the world like this. Allah knows best. Allah knows best. The children will come from him. You raise your hands towards Allah, children will come from the sky. They'll come into your families, inshallah. And the third thing he tells them is what? Your du'as will be accepted. This is the beautiful thing about yursil as-sama'a alaykum midrara. When you hear this in the Quran, that the skies will be unleashed for you. They'll be open for you. Your du'as will be answered every single time. Anything you need, anywhere you need, anytime you need it, Allah will be there to help you, inshallah. You know, it's a beautiful thing when a person gets the habit of making tawbah. It's better just to be in the state of saying, we're not doing our best. You know, I meet many people that keep telling me that about how great they are. That's great, mashallah. May Allah increase you and stuff, you know. But the thing is that if we can just sit down and just tell Allah that we're full of faults, we're full of mistakes, we make sins, and then you raise your hand and say, Allah, forgive us. You see what Allah will give you along with the tawbah, along with the fact that He will forgive you of the sins. He'll give you so much more in terms of risk and sustenance. Allah will take care of everything for your dunya if we can just become people who admit to ourselves that we make mistakes, we could be better, we could improve, we can do more, and we can try to be, and even after we did everything perfect, Ya Allah, astaghfirullah, I don't know, you know, astaghfirullah. Then one story of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, just very quickly, that Ali radiallahu anhum was remembering them. He was remembering the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He would say, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would stand up from the beginning of their night, and they stand up in the Tahajjud, and they're praying for so long, to the point that he would say that their feet would get tired. So they would rock back and forth between their right foot and their left foot. So when they would stand too long on the right side, they would start shifting towards their left. When they stand too long on the left side, they shift towards their right. You know, they'd be standing for so long. And then they would, and he say that they would stand for so long. And when they would get into their sajda, the sajda would be as long as they're standing. As long as they used to stand in qiyam and read the Quran, the same length would be their sujood. When they would be putting their heads below, you know, in prostration in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ali radiallahu anhu would say that after the prayer, they would sit there and they would be rocking back and forth, making dhikr and crying and crying and crying. And Ali radiallahu anhu would say that at the end of the night, it would be fajr time when they would finish. And Ali radiallahu anhu would say, Wallahi, laka anna al-qawma batu ghafilin. At the end of the night, the sahaba would say, Ya Allah, as if we were negligent in this night. We weren't worshipping you properly, you know? Allahu Akbar. The whole night they're in tahajjud and praying in front of Allah. And at the end of it, they say, Ya Allah, as if we weren't even doing anything. We were negligent of you. Ya Allah, Allah protect us and give us understanding that there's always more we can strive for. Life is always by hitting those goals, you know? That you can become a person who remembers Allah Ta'ala 24/7, inshallah. May Allah make us like that, inshallah Ta'ala. And he says, وَيَزِدُكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. They'll give you more strength. The people of Arad, they just showed you their kingdom. They were massive, you know, but there are always other empires in the world. And everyone who has a big empire is thinking like, man, I would love to have their empire too. So Hud alayhi salam says, if you become true worshippers of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give you more land. He'll give you more power. He'll give you more wealth. A businessman is always thinking about the next the next investment, the next business, the next store. Hud alayhi salam says, guys, I got the best investment for you. Worship Allah, He'll give you even more stuff. He'll give you more things. He'll give you it in such a way that it will be halal for you. You know, we're worried about riba and all these things. When you worship Allah Ta'ala, He'll give you things in a way that's completely halal and proper. More life, more youth. Yazidakum quwwatan. You know, people can have as much land as they want in this world. They can try their best to get as much money as they want, but they don't have any control about how much life they have. You know, they don't have control over how much youth they have. How much energy they have. Zidakum quwwatan ila quwwatikum. He will give you more life. You'll live longer. And he'll give you more youth. And he'll give you more energy. Okay? And you'll notice this as a fact of life, that people that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really Allah gives them very long lives, very happy lives, very joyous lives, you know? Of course, the beginning is difficult because Allah ta'ala will take the test. But later on, you see people that they worship Allah. I just see them as happy people. May Allah protect all of us and make us like that, inshallah. Hud alayhi salam gives them such an amazing thing, and he just says, please don't turn away. Don't turn away and continue a life of sin. Please don't do it. You know, after I gave you this beautiful promise, and I told you the fact that you have to worship one Lord, the one that created you, not the things that you created, you know, it makes total sense. He tells them, don't turn away, don't become sinners, please. He gives them such a beautiful response. But you can imagine that the reply from the community, what's it going to be? They say, قَالُوا يَهُودُ مَا جِئْنَا بِبَيِّنَةٍ مَجِدْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَا وَنَحْنُ بِتَارِكِ آلِيَتِنَا وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ أَوْهُودْ مَجِدْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَا. You didn't bring us any proof. وَنَحْنُ بِتَارِكِ. And also, by the way, we're not going to leave our gods on قَوْلِكَ, on your word. وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And also, by the way, we're not going to believe because of you. Okay? So this is the sad part. What is the sad part? Did he not bring proof? Did he not bring proof? He explained it to them logically why they need to worship the one that created them. Okay? And Hud alayhi salam thereafter told them, you can believe me because I don't want any of your dunya. I don't want any of your money. I don't want any of your positions, your power, none of that. I just want you to worship Allah. This is the most convincing argument you could give to anyone. that when you call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not looking for any money or anything. They're just looking for your best interest. And he gave them a very logical answer. Worship the one that created you, not the things that you created. Very beautiful answer. They lied. Okay? They made it up. Everything's out of arrogance. We're not going to leave. We're not going to leave our idols at all because you just said it. Okay? It's only because of arrogance. They're like, oh, who, you just said it. There's no proof here. We didn't hear anything. I don't know. And so this is the idea about people that don't want to follow the truth. They'll just change the truth. You know, if the truth is so uncomfortable, if the truth is so bitter, what is the best thing you can do? Just write something fake on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter. If you know, if I don't like the truth, I'll just make it up. You know, why not? You know, let's just say Jesus died for our sins. Life becomes so much happier. You know, like just make up whatever you want, because if, you know, if reality is bitter, then let's just pretend like we're not going to die and just live it up, you know? YOLO. Why doesn't a sign come from his Lord? Okay, this is what they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You didn't come for a proof, Hud. They said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَوَلَا أُنزِي عَلِهِ مِنْ رَبِّي. They said, why doesn't a sign come from his Lord? In earlier in Surah Hud, what did we hear? Why doesn't an angel come? This is the thing. The proof has been coming. The Quran has been coming. The revelation is there. It's so blatantly clear. This is the thing about Muslims. Anyone who's practicing Islam, you are the most rational person. You're the most logical person in this insane asylum, this crazy place that we live in, this cuckoo land we live in America. Everyone else is straight up pagal here. We're in the land of pagiliyat. You are the smartest person here. You're following the thing that makes the most sense, you know? But see, that's the thing. If people are not willing to accept the truth, they'll make up anything to not follow the truth. So they'll say things like this: why doesn't an angel come? Why isn't there a proof? You know, bring down some verses. Because it's not the proof that they want. It's not the proof that they want. And they say, وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Hud, we're not going to follow because of you. We're not going to follow because of you. وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ. Because you don't have any status. You don't have any money. Same thing they told Nuh alayhi salam. The same thing they're telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. Why don't you have a treasure? Shouldn't you be rich? Shouldn't you be wealthy? Why don't you have any dunya? As if the prophets were sent for that act, to become people of the dunya, to become people of wealth. They weren't for this. That's not their purpose. The purpose is to guide people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did the people of Hud alayhi salam say? Inna qulu illa ataraka ba'du alihatina bisu. Ajeeb thing. We do not say except that some of our gods may have seized you with some evil. Okay? In other words, right, if you're understanding the word i'tiraq, i'tiraq is from urwa. Urwa in Arabic is used for a very strong handle. You know, when you grab something, you're like, wow, this is a nice coffee cup. It's a good handle, you know? Or like, wow, the steering wheel, good handle, you know? Oh, this doorknob, amazing, you know? So the urwa is something that you grab, okay? So they said that the idols have grabbed you. They have seized you. Our gods have taken you. And they will not let go. What are they saying? Hud, you're crazy. You're mad. Our gods have made you insane. Because our gods have cursed you. That's why you don't worship, okay? Do you want to know what we hear today? Oh, they're just following the devil. They're just following the devil. Yeah, you know, this religion of Islam. Islam is just the religion of the devil. The Holy Spirit, you know, he didn't come to them. The Holy Spirit has cursed them. They're just following the devil. They call them insane. If you're feeling this today, say, mashallah, I'm following the sunnah of Hud alayhi salam. Same thing they called him, they call him Majnoon. Our gods have cursed you. That's why you don't worship, O Hud. Okay? So they say this about him. The first thing before we respond, we get Hud alayhi salam's response, because his response is extraordinary. We're going to start it today. We're going to finish it tomorrow. But the first thing we want to ask everyone, if someone tells me that, and this is the thing, when some Christian would come to me and tell me that, oh, I think our devils, our gods, you know, the demons have gotten you, right? The Satan has gotten you, whatever. It's like God has cursed you. I'll ask them, say, how do you know what your gods are doing? How do you know what your gods are doing? I can't, as a Muslim, say that. Allah has punished you. Allah has cursed you. How could I say that as a Muslim? I don't even know. I don't have any authority. I have no right. How do you know what your God is doing? Are you your God's God? Like, how do you know? So that's the thing. How do you know what your gods are doing? This is a big question. Now listen to Hud alayhi salam's response. And this is the strongest response you're ever going to find throughout the Quran. We're going to start it today. Finish it tomorrow. قَالَ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. He goes and says, This is putting your foot down. If you're talking about what kind of impressive prophet, messenger, who that Islam is, how much you're going to love this man. So this man has 100% yaqeen, iman, Islam, everything about him, 100%, not budging on anything. What does he say? He says, I make Allah my witness, and I make you all my witness, that I have nothing to do with your idols. I have nothing to do with what you take as gods. Whatever you were doing shirk with, let the curse come down right now. Imagine this, you go up to the Christian and say, all right, you know, all right, you call out to their God. Say, all right, Jesus, shoot me down right now with lightning. You know, this is what he's telling them right now. He's saying, I make Allah my witness. I make you all witness that whatever you're worshiping, I got nothing to do with it. If they're cursing me, let more curse down come down. I have a whole entire barrel, right? Let them fill up my jug with curses. No problem. Let the curse come down. He said, everything that you're doing, you think I'm scared? You honestly think I'm scared of rocks? You know, you think I'm scared of your Buddha or your idol or this or that? You think I'm scared of this Shiva? Who the heck is this Shiva? You think I'm scared of these rocks? The Huda Islam is threatening whom? The people with that kingdom that we just showed of Yemen, of Jordan, of all these areas, of Ad. He's cursed, he is criticizing them, and he's calling them out straight. He says, look, I'm not scared of any of these rocks. Don't ever mess with me. Don't even think I'm scared. And this is the way we Muslims need to be. We think this person will curse me. You know, we say this, oh, such and such person will curse me. Oh, you know, if you do this bad, then this person will curse you. Ya Allah, what are you so scary? Oh, I'm so scared. Oh my God, they're going to send a jinn on me. Like, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? I thought you believed in Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No harm or benefit except from Allah. What are you frightened of? Are you frightened of human beings? People that they will have their own death and Allah Ta'ala will give them hisab? What are you worried about? As a Muslim, you have no right to say these types of things. Such and such, oh, they're going to curse you. Oh, you said this thing, you become barbad. Who are you to decide these things? You are nobody in front of my eyes. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decide what will harm or benefit. Don't worry about anyone else. Just look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huda Islam's response starts out like this. And I tell you, he's gonna crank it up to the next level. But we'll speak about it tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Allow us to love Huda Islam and allow us to appreciate and benefit from the lessons that we get from his life, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.